The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
A quick disclaimer before this episode. Many of the names are Mandarin and Cantonese. I did my best to try to get the pronunciations correct, but I'm sure I butchered quite a few of them. Please forgive me. On May 16th, 1997, a 999 call was made from Hong Kong's Kowloon District. The caller was a middle-aged man who incoherently told the operator that he was seriously injured and needed an ambulance to bring him to the hospital. He then hung up after a series of barely intelligible words. The ambulance arrived 30 minutes later and rushed him to the United Christian Hospital in Kwong Tong District. At the hospital, the man was delirious and unable to explain where his injuries came from or even the injuries at all, just that he was injured. After a doctor examined him, he noted several bruises and fractured bones, likely from a beating, prompting the doctor to inform the police. Police spent several hours questioning the man in the hospital until they finally learnt his information. The man lived in an apartment building in Kwong Tong District and was identified as 36-year-old Chan Muk-ching, and he worked as a sanitation worker at the time. Chan did not know for sure who had attacked him, and he could only identify two of them by nicknames, A B and A Chick. These two people lived in the Sao Mao Ping Estate, which is across the street from the payphone Muk Ching called the police from. At 12 a.m. on May 17th, police rushed to the apartment to track down and question those two mentioned previously. Now, while the one known as A Chick was nowhere to be found, they did find and were able to arrest A B, whose real name was Shi Jian, a 16-year-old student. Several accomplices were also detained. The police only made the arrest to question them over Muk Ching's beating, but all those questioned seemed to have a different idea and confessed to something much more, horrifying.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
All of those arrested were under the age of 18, and yet in spite that they were all gang members and identified themselves as something called triads. In my research for this story, I did have to do a little bit of digging into what the triads were. Now, I've heard the name thrown around, I've seen some movies with them mentioned, but I never really knew what it was. And unlike something like the Yakuza, the Triads have a bit more of an overtly political origin. Meaning that instead of just being, say, organized crime or something along the mafia, these groups have more higher ambitions, if you will. The oldest and leader, a chick whose true identity was 17-year-old Hu Chi Y, who, like Muk Ching, was employed as a cleaner. Hu Chi also had a record, as in 1996 he was sentenced to 1 year imprisonment for a petty assault. He also frequently rallied up others to quote-unquote go to war and fight and beat up other teen gangs. Most of them also had records for other petty crimes, and the police found reason to visit Cao Mao Ping several times before this case. Muk Ching was attacked by the gang as while on shift working and cleaning in the area, he would attempt to persuade others to leave the gangs and continue their education to try and better their futures. Hu Chi Y saw this as a problem, but violence wasn't his first choice. He would start by trying to intimidate him and in other times using his female friends to try and seduce Muk Ching in hopes that this would motivate him to stop. Hu Chi would also set small fires in the area to further intimidate him, but Muk Ching never gave up. And even more aggravating, his words were actually reaching other gang members. Most notably, 15-year-old Luk Chi Y seemed genuinely eager to change his ways and leave the crime world behind. He only seemed to be in the gang for the relationships with others and was always reluctant to get involved in criminal activity. Instead, he would prefer to stay back with Muk Ching and help him with his cleaning work and duties. On May 12th, Hu Chi didn't want to do his part-time job simply out of laziness. And while he was inside, Muk Ching ended up meeting his mother and explained to her what her son had been up to. And she was shocked. She then told his father, and both of his parents were outraged and scolded and chewed him out. Hu Chi paid them no mind until later that afternoon. Once they left, he gathered up a bunch of friends. He found Muk Ching on his shift, and then they rushed towards him. They spent 2 hours beating him. Once this was over, Luk Chi found out what happened and rushed toward him after everyone left to tend to his wounds and even tried encouraging him to contact the police. 2 days later, on May 14th, Hu Chi heard of this encounter. They were all angered at Luk Chi's actions and thus sought to make him pay for his quote-unquote backbone. At 9 p.m., he was allured into the exact apartment of Cao Mao Ping where the other members stayed. Hu Chi couldn't take part due to family and personal issues at the time, so in his place, 17-year-old Fu Hin Chun orchestrated the beating. Hin Chun, in 1993, was sentenced alongside another involved 17-year-old, Mac Kaho, to 1 year of behavior therapy and treatment for a robbery. Others involved were 14-year-old Zhu Jiong, 16-year-old N Ming Chung, who was also in a 1993 conviction for theft, 14-year-old Ron Kit Yi, 16-year-old Chan Tok Ming, who had also had a 1995 conviction for his involvement in a street fight, 14-year-old Li Pi, 14-year-old Wong Kam Po, and 14-year-old Zhu Zhen Chen Keng Go were all involved. There were several other names as well, but to save me and everybody listening to this video, I'm not going to try to say everybody's names. Once Luk Chi arrived, the beating started in full force immediately. They attacked him with their hands and feet before escalating to folding chairs like WWE. Once Hu Chi was done and his family issues, he had returned home, and once he saw that the beating was still going on, half an hour later, he joined in on the beating. Luk Chi was getting beat with a plastic pipe at the time. They continued for 3 hours until Luk Chi finally passed away from his injuries. All those involved suddenly became scared and fearful, as despite their lengthy list of crimes, this was the first time they had ever murdered someone. Some wanted to call the police themselves and turn in themselves, while others suggested finding a black market doctor to see if they could resuscitate Luke Chi. Hu Chi and Hin Chun calmed everyone down, and eventually they settled on carrying the body to an abandoned building while others went out to purchase gasoline. Another member of the group suggested disposing of the body in the mountainous areas to be scavenged by wild animals or a landfill to go undiscovered. Acting under Hin Chun's orders, they removed the now burnt clothes from the body and tied it up with bedsheets and wires. Afterwards, Hu Chi and Chan Tak went out to talk and look for a cart to use to transport the body. But coincidentally, a police patrol happening in the area stopped them. During this time, according to Muk Ching, they were seriously injured and hiding in his home, too afraid to go to the police due to Luke Chi being nowhere to be seen and the rest of the gang threatening him. Due to that well-timed police patrol, the gang had to delay disposing Luke Chi's body, but this time was used to purchase some acid and other tools needed to hinder identification and move the body, as well as think of a possible new plan. In the moment, they placed the corpse into a cardboard box, which they then sealed shut with tape. They put a bunch of items and belongings into the box so it would look like they were disposing of garbage. They lifted the box into a cart and began moving it towards the apartment's garbage disposal room. The specific block of the apartment they picked was due to be demolished soon, and most of the residents had already moved out, so they figured the body would still be undiscovered, as well as what they did to it. Once they arrived, Hin Chun had others act as lookouts and pretend to carry furniture on the off chance that someone else came by. They then poured acid and gasoline onto his body before setting it on fire. Afterwards, they waited outside for 2 hours or more until the fire naturally burnt itself out. Once that had finally happened, they stuffed the body back into the box and waited for a garbage truck to come and carry it off to the landfill, which is what eventually happened. The next day, on May 16th, was when Muk Ching called the police, which ended up leading to this murder being exposed. Some members of the gang on that same day had felt guilty and went to their other non-gang member friends who they knew to try and confess and turn themselves in, but nobody would believe them and thought that they were just trying to build up some reputation by telling a fake story. Once all was said and done, the police were absolutely floored, since they never even knew Luke Chi was missing, and only arrested them to talk to them about Muk Ching's, assault. But instead, they all confessed to this other murder with little to no prompting from them. In fact, the police struggled to even believe them likewise, thinking that they were probably just lying to build up infamy. Adding to their skepticism was the inconsistent nature of their confessions, with some trying to claim that others did it alone and dragged them into it, and others sharing the blame entirely with the team. Pretty much, they were hearing 20 different excuses as to why everybody involved wasn't really responsible. Regardless, the police were obligated to investigate, so they headed to the garbage room in that block of the apartment. Police found 2 plastic pipes, a folding chair, a white blanket, a red bucket, a white gasoline barrel, an electric fan, and a pile of charred debris and signs of a fire. But due to the lack of any human remains at the scene, they still couldn't determine that someone had been killed there. The police afterwards went to the local landfill and deployed 120 officers and 4 sniffer dogs who spent 6 hours searching. But after scouring through several hundreds of tons of garbage and waste, no trace of Luke Chi's remains were actually found anywhere. On May 18th, Hin Chun was arrested after his parents compelled and forced him to turn himself in. Hin Chun confessed as well as confirmed to the police that everything said by the others was in fact the truth. Forensic officials combed through the garbage room and extracted some traces of human tissue from the charred debris and objects, but unfortunately, there was way too much damage to use any sort of reasonable information from that DNA, but they were able to identify that the DNA did belong to a child or teenager, and naturally the cause of death was impossible to determine based on this alone. This was enough evidence for the police to know that a murder had taken place, and on May 20th, every single one of those teenagers were charged with the murder of Luke Chi, despite his body remaining missing. The trial for this case proved to be very challenging. Due to the lack of a body and contradicting confessions from everybody, and also many of them later recanting those confessions, it made it really hard for the police to figure out who was the leader and what blame belonged where. Now, Shi Jian was granted immunity to murder charges as long as he offered testimony against everybody he was friends with in that group who participated in this murder. Muk Ching was also not able to testify or do much here because mental issues he suffered from the attack made him unable to testify in court. Somewhere around 9 p.m. on May 14th, Muk Ching was called to come to the apartment via a phone call, wanting to discuss something with him. After entering, Hu Chi and a couple of assailants were all waiting. Within seconds of him entering, Hin Chun and other assailants instantly began to punch him and kick him, forcing him onto the ground, shouting at him to confess and beg them for mercy. Hin Chun then got a folding chair and opened it to place the legs over his head to stop him from moving. Then he grabbed a pair of nunchucks and repeatedly kept hitting him with it, screaming questions at him such as, "Why did you betray us?" But no matter what answer Hin Chun responded with, they just hit him again. Afterwards, Hin Chun was crying out for help when others would pick up his legs, holding him upside down with his head pointed towards the ground, and repeatedly slammed the top of his head against the floor in a move they referred to as a human pile driver, very similar to The Undertaker's finishing move, which he used throughout his illustrious career in the WWE and WWF. If you're not familiar with this, I will show something on screen. Once they were done, he quickly collapsed to the ground. But things weren't over quite yet. Chan Tak Ming forced a bunch of dates into his mouth while Jin Bao, Zhu Zhen, Shi Jian, and others showed up having not been present for most of the beating. This is also when Luke Chi was given a brief break while somebody named Lin Chun told him to get up and start cleaning and mopping around. Obviously, after being beaten pretty profusely, this would be quite an interesting task to undertake. While doing this, though, a female, somebody who apparently went to school with the boys, claimed that Luke Chi had humiliated her at school. So, she slapped him, and then another boy hit him with an umbrella to show support. This riled up everyone up again, prompting the whole group to jump in and attack him. Now, the brutality unfortunately did not stop there. Another one of the boys would hit him very hard in the back and neck to force him down to his knees with a wooden stick. He would then put him in front of a statue of Guang Gong to repent. Hu Chi and Chan Tak also repeatedly beat him with their own wooden sticks. While doing this, somebody else was trying to punch him and kick him at the same time. By now, his body was so bruised all over, and his feet were starting to bleed, and they just weren't letting up. This is when they decided to play some sort of poetry recital-type game, at least that's what I think this translation means. Basically, one of them would be called by their nickname, and then they would repeatedly punch and kick Lai Chuk on their own. So this essentially means that pretty much every single person in that group at the time, maybe excluding one or two, got to at least beat him individually at least once. They had tired themselves out and started to smoke, and once they were done, three or four of those involved stuffed the cigarette butts into his mouth. By now, he could barely move, and had begged for mercy, and that he wouldn't do anything more and would never betray anybody again, and that he couldn't go on any much longer. But that's when somebody took him to the bathroom to wash his face, and once they returned, somebody was trying to argue on his behalf and convince them that Luke Chi had suffered enough. A bunch of people tried to force him to kneel again and apologize in spite of him having already done so several times. He knelt down, but before he could even speak, another person suddenly kicked him right in the face while somebody else hit him with a folding chair. Now at this point, I'm sure you're wondering, how much further could they possibly take this without just killing the poor guy? And I have that same opinion. Now, I know I've made some comparisons to the WWE, but really, hitting somebody with a steel chair, folding chair, whatever, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It's almost as if they thought this was some sort of video game and treated it like that. Now at this point, most of the group had left, whether it was from fear of being caught, not wanting him to actually die on their own time, or just leaving because they had something else to do, who could really say? I can say, from what I understand, two people returned back, and they had pipes with them. Plastic pipes again. At some point, they were worried about him looking bad, so they would wash him up in the bathroom, put his clothes back on, and try to get him to walk out. From what I can understand, they were getting a bit angered because he was not able to walk on his own, and at this point it was clear that he was likely going to die from the beating he had sustained. So, to take this issue into their own hands, I can almost bet you know what they decided to do. They called up another friend, all three of them came together with plastic pipes, and they beat him absolutely mercilessly until he was lifeless. Their only response after he passed out was to try to drag him to the bathroom once more, pour more cold water all over him to wake him up so they could continue to beat him more. When he passed out, he never woke up again. And this happened at least two or three times that I know of. They didn't realize that he had died until about 12:30 a.m., where they then proceeded to dispose of his body in the manner described above, where they burned him and then threw him out like garbage. Now, as mentioned earlier in the story, one of the witnesses and people who partook in this, Shi Zijin, had testified with immunity. Once the trial began at the Hong Kong High Court, the main question was how accurate his testimony would be, especially when it came down to who delivered the final blow. The prosecution called upon their own doctor to refute. He argued that the material, length, and hardness of the plastic pipes were not enough to cause fatal wounds, and whatever killed Luke Chi likely happened earlier, and it took him some time to die as a result from it. The doctor testified that it wasn't one single blow that caused Luke Chi's death, and instead, all the injuries accumulated and resulted in a hemorrhage, meaning that all the participants shared culpability. It was even argued that he may have still been alive, but with a weak pulse while they were putting his body in that box to dispose of. The judge sided with the prosecution and argued that all involved, except the one with immunity, would be charged with murder regardless of how mild they were in any of the assault. Now, on January 27, 1999, the jury returned with their verdicts. Hugh Chi was found guilty of murder and preventing the burial of a body and was given a life sentence. An appeal court reduced the sentence to 30 years and then later 25. Ma Ka Ho was convicted of the same charges and sentenced to 26 years imprisonment. He appealed his sentence, and in May of 2001, the appeal court convicted him only of assault and preventing the burial of a body and was given a reduced sentence of only 7 years. Ming Chun was given a life sentence, although an appeal reduced it to 25 years. Ruong Kit Ye was convicted of assault and preventing the burial of a body and was given 42 months in prison with time served factored in. Now, there's a bunch more names involved and they all got very similar sentences. None of them really got more than 20 to 30 years, and then most of them appealed down to probably about 15 or less. The sentences were all appealed, like I said, and most of them were accepted because the defense lawyers and presiding judge neglected sentencing guidelines for those who were juvenile at the time of the offense. So, even though they did get some time, I don't think true justice was served here. All have since been released and are now free with the exception of one who committed suicide, jumping off a building in December 25th of 2007. To this day, Luke Chi's body has never been discovered, and his disappearance would have likely remained unsolved if Chan Muk Ching had not gathered the courage to call that 999 call that day.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Thanks for listening to another true crime case here in the Swamp, with me, your host, Swamp Dweller. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to slap that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this episode gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps us grow these cases. If you have a case that you would like to suggest, throw them down in the comments or send them in at swampdweller.net. I'd love to look into new and fresh cases I have not seen before, especially ones from all around the world. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new episode, as I upload them multiple times a week in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you'd like to share in the Scary Story podcast side of things, swampdweller.net or the email in the description would be the great place to submit that. Thank you guys so much for the support you guys give this channel. I'd love to know your thoughts on this case down below, and again, if you have any suggestions, definitely let me know. I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.